special board meeting. I want to call the meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
From the side. Thank you. Next, we'll move to the superintendent's report, site plans for the new.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before we get into the presentation, I wanted to make a few introductions. Some of you may, I'm sure, remember Tim Skibicki, who's representing ABHA, BSA, or the point on the architectural engineering drawings. Dean Johnson from RYJ Construction, Mr. Brian Bassett also from RYJ, Mr. Zach Crouch from Davis Bowen and Friedel, the primaries for the civil work associated with the site work, and a few other things along the way too. So we appreciate you all being here and for taking the time. Our task this evening is to receive, review, ask questions about the site work portion of our project. The bid day is May 22nd, 2024. And when you have a bid day with schedule, there's a series of steps and procedures that you have to go through, approvals. That begins with the Board of Education in terms of the conversation of the site work and how we're going to proceed from there. The board received some drawings on Friday. I think they're going to be reviewed, and Mr. Skibicki has those up on the screen. This afternoon, we received a packet also from ABHA, which are the supporting documents for the plans themselves, the specific design documents. The devil's always in the details and in those documents along the way. So they'll be part of our conversation today. We're looking for that review of the site itself. We're aware of a couple of amendments that need to be made and some discussion regarding some details regarding the site work. We'll go over that, I'm sure, as we go through the document itself. So I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Skibicki and the team, and we'll go from there. So the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for having us back. We were here, if you recall, back in September for seeking approval for the design development phase, which you granted. And so we are returning now for approval for the construction documents phase. And that is the final phase of the design process. So it's where it's the third phase, and we're really putting all the details together now and putting together that sort of how-to kit in terms of how to put the building and the site work together. Dr. Carson alluded to it that this is the final phase, but there are multiple steps between now and the bid day come May. So we really, the main thing we're asking for today is approval to submit the documents, the site drawings, to Department of Education and Department of Facilities Management. There are, the Department of Facilities Management is the main gatekeeper for putting the project out to bid. So they will review the drawings, the specifications, and the front end to make sure, you know, all the legal aspects of the bidding documents are in place and the procedures and all that. They'll also do a pretty exhaustive review of the plans and the drawings. and then we'll have an opportunity to make some revisions and get those revisions back in front of those regulatory agencies. DBF and ZAC are doing a lot of submissions through Department of Natural Resources, DLDOT, various regulatory agencies to seek approvals for all of the specifics of the engineering. We'll walk through the plan a little bit here. I did want to address the schedule a little bit. We are solely seeking approval for the site design, the civil engineering, and then we will come back in March and present to you the building design. So in March we'll have a lot more interesting graphics in terms of, no offense, Zach, but in terms of the interior of the building. We'll have renderings and probably some fly-throughs to show you what the building looks like. We're in the throes of that process now. Since we were here in September, there's been a lot of work that's done. We've had a lot of our specialty consultants, theater designer, kitchen and culinary designer. We've had our IT specialists come in and meet with the representatives from the district. So, and another thing we've done at the last in service day, we had about four teams of designers here surveying the equipment. So all of the staff have identified which pieces of equipment they would like to have to come over to the new building. And we have come here, we came and identified all that. A lot of it was already in place, but it was just one sort of final pass. Now our mechanical, electrical engineers are gonna take that information and make sure that, going forward, that the requirements for that stuff are in place as we continue to design the building. It's just a high level view of what we've been working on. I think a lot of the gymnasium, the cafeteria, the theater, a lot of those spaces are pretty far along from a design standpoint, and we're appropriately so focusing a lot on the vocational technical areas, and that's a very labor intensive and a lot of work. We've spent a couple hours or several hours already reviewing equipment plans for each of those of the program areas throughout the school. So we're looking forward to coming back in March and reviewing those. But do want to take a few minutes to just, I'm sure that you're all familiar with the concept and design of the overall site plan, but I wanted to, I think it's helpful for a lot of us to see these 3D renderings, and these were images that we shared back in September, that you all saw back in September. There have been some minor modifications that have been made, but for the most part, the big picture is still the same. You have the new school, approximately 350,000 square feet, and that's sort of at the other end of the campus from the district office, and that's flanked by the 14 building here and the existing gym, and then the field stadium, and there's the concessions and sort of field house area here, and then on the other side of that is the Auto Tech building. That's which will receive a small addition. And there's another existing building that will function as the for the maintenance building for the campus. And then there is a greenhouse over here. There's several outbuildings, and then there's a sort of the Western Pavilion, we're calling it, which is some locker rooms and toilet rooms for the baseball fields. And then over here is a small building for the heavy equipment operation that's going on across the street. here's another view of that. I think it's one of the things that we're excited about is the opportunity to utilize, to reuse the investments that the, you know, the district and the community has invested in, you know, in the past, being the existing building. There's the light fixtures. We are working on salvaging the light fixtures in the existing stadium and reusing them here. So Zach, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is pretty accurate from the circulation standpoint, from the site work. But that just gives you a visual idea of what these site plans are showing here. And this this is the end of phase one, what the site will look like when the new school is built and when the existing school is still in operation, and then the magic that that R.Y. Johnson will bring, which is you know, the demolition of a portion of the existing school and the conversion of this into the stadium. Another thing that we're really excited about this stadium is that it does not have, like many you know, stadiums and football fields will have the track running right around them, which kind of separates them from, pushes out the bleachers a little bit further, which you will not have. So you'll have a nice intimate stadium here with the bleachers and the seating nice and close to the field. Just from a circulation standpoint, you have this major loop that goes all the way around, and we're adding another entrance exit onto Route 9 here, and utilizing this main entrance, a new circulation loop here in the center, and we have some, you know, internal circulation that goes around the new building, and then some of the roadway. It's kind of hard to see here, but this is the out in front of the 14 building where you're seeing the mainly what's out here now is will be there in the final design. There's a stormwater facility which will be right across from the district office, which will be, it's deceiving. These everything on this drawing is just so big. But the stormwater feature, when you compare that to the football field, it's rather large and necessarily so. But there is a circulation, a little roadway on the other side of that with some parking, and some parking nested into the various buildings. And there's a large parking lot out front of the new school and a medium parking lot out on the side. And then there's the access to the vocational technical wing here on the side, and the bus drop off on the back. There are a couple modifications that we still need to make, and we are still investigating. And a couple of them being around the vocational technical wing in the back. We will likely be looking at an exit that kind of just takes you straight through here, rather than exiting through the gate at the side. There's also another smaller parking lot in the back. And there's also a small tweak that we want to make here as well in terms of creating an island or a pull-off. I know that was mentioned at the last board meeting, and we will continue to study that and make sure that that's in there. We have added a sidewalk, and there's a canopy. This is the connection to the early childhood area right here. So there are some minor tweaks that we'll be making here and there, but for the most part, there's been, DBF, Zach and Terry have put a ton of work into this, the district as well, of course. With that, that's the big picture. Terry, or Zach?
No, let's. If I got any questions from us, I mean,
I have a concern, and the board knows that, early childhood center, I have spoken to two experts in early childhood, one of which is my sister, who has 45 years in early childhood. To have the entrance on the same side as the buses is an accident waiting to happen. Kids aren't predictable, like I was telling Will. You know, you may have two kids you're dropping off. You put, you know, take one out of the car seat, have them standing beside you while you go get the other one, and the tendency for them to dart off and the buses to be there, I don't think that's a good place for the entrance. If it could be around the other corner or something like that, both of the early childhood experts that I spoke to agree that that's not a good situation.
Could you point that out on the map for us?
Yes, that is right here. So this sidewalk here takes you right to the early childhood.
And then where are the buses?
Buses are right here. And if you, on this drawing here behind Brian does have has the beginning of the thought on that, where you can see that there is a carve out for it, and we need to add an island there to separate them. And that's.
But an island's not going to keep a kid from running, kind of thing. I mean, I just. And Dean, my sister runs the Learning Center in Alton, so. And she's, like I said, probably has 45 years in early childhood education and a degree in that.
Ms. Jones, do you think if there was a. Going to call it an island structure because I don't know what the discussion is, and we've talked about this from schematic, you know, the issue about what does that look like, where are folks going to pull in, that type of an arrangement. If in that structure there was, I almost want to say a fencing component, but something that would prevent a child from accessing, taking the run, as you said, to get across. And let's assume that the buses are here, the buses are not here. You really can't count on that.
Right.
But, and then the other issue is parental arrival. We've had discussions with the early childhood education staff about when they come, but there's always that loner.
Right. Well, or the kid has a doctor's appointment that morning, so
agreed.
They're a little late. They don't get there on the normal drop-off time. I mean,
yeah, could be even thinking, and again, defer to the design team. But I'm also thinking about a fencing in the island. I'm thinking about a gate system at both ends, possibly even an arm system for vehicles or something like that. But we continue to put that issue on the table.
Like I said,
understood.
A concern of mine,
yes.
Knowing my sister for, you know, all those years that, you know, I brought it up to her and she's like, oh no, kind of thing. That shouldn't be that, you know, they shouldn't be let off at the same places where the buses are. And I've talked to another early childhood specialist and they agree.
Yeah, it is something that we did study and looked at a lot of options for. The one on the bright side is there's an internal courtyard that will have playground equipment, which we thought, you know, looking at other options that, you know, on the balance, it was nice to have that protected.
For security, yes.
Yeah.
I agree with the, you know, inside playground or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That they don't, you know, if some wackos driving by, they don't have, you know, can't see the little kids and stuff like that. Yes, I agree with that, but I just, like I said, that the fact that the buses are in the same area as the early childhood entrance concerns me.
So if you're looking at design, are you proposing that it should be around the corner?
If it could be, yes, just, you know, on a different part of the thing. I don't know, Will and I were looking, trying to see, could the entrance to the early, is it on the corner of the building that the entrance could be put on the other side of the building rather than on the same side as the buses? I don't know. I just.
The problem with the timing that we talked about before, which was the answer that we were getting before,
Right, that, that they're going to be at different times.
But you have other things. You have fog delays, you have snow delays, you have so many things that I don't think we can rely on the time.
Right, and there's a drop-off period when most of the parents are going to drop it off. But like I said, the kid has a doctor's appointment, then it's not going to be the normal drop-off, you know, kind of thing. And I mean, I just know for my sister operating the daycare center, parents are constantly coming and going. I mean, there's a heavier period when, you know, most parents drop off, pick up, but it's happening all day long.
And I'm not, believe me, I'm not trying to minimize your concern. One of the other challenges that we hear, or, you know, is if it's not there, it has to be somewhere else. And as I look at the other options are what, you know, you have other vehicle traffic in the other locations as well. And then, at least in this spot, you have bus drivers are the main, you know, the other actor in this scenario, and hopefully are professionals. And
right, but it's a different thing dealing with high school kids versus preschool kids. I mean,
right.
But if we could address the design question to provide that separation, which is what you've asked us to do, is to have a some type of a separation that's better than an 8-inch island.
Yeah, I mean, something that's going to keep the kids.
Understood.
Agreed. So,
like a fence?
A fence? I don't know. I'm not.
I'm just trying to.
Right, yeah. I just know the kids. I mean, I gave these guys a scenario. I was going into a friend's house, and there was an SUV there, and I saw the family and stuff, and I'm going slow, and then all of a sudden, in front of the SUV, darts his kid right in front of me, even though his parents are there, kind of thing. And luckily, I was going like 10 miles an hour, so it was no problem. But that's the nature of small kids, kind of thing. So it just something that, like you said, a little curb is not going to keep them from thing, but you know, maybe some kind of fence or some kind of barricade. I don't know, but something that, you know, and like I said, a lot of parents are going to have a couple kids. So, you know, you're getting one out of the vehicle, you're having them try to stand beside you while you get the other one out, because, you know, they're in car seats and all that buckling and stuff. And, you know, kids see something or just decide they want to take off. There's, you know, parents, you know, trying to, you know, it's, you know, how do you stop them? So something, yeah, something that keeps them from darting there.
Could you point out?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that kind of thing. I mean, like I said, I don't know a lot about a lot, but I know
where
this from my sister.
Yeah, so where's the daycare center here?
Can you look at the overhead view?
Yeah. You're not going to see it from there, but on your plan, you'll see there's a little sidewalk right there. That sidewalk leads right to the entry of the.
And then that's the new building?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so the buses will go all the way around the school, this whole area, right? And then will the parents come in the same way? Go all the way around the school to get to drop their kids off?
Yes.
So everybody will be coming all the way around.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The parents were the early childhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
C-102?
Yeah, if you're taking your child to early childhood daycare, you're dropping them off here.
Yeah, so come around the school to get there. And then the buses take the same route?
Correct.
Tim, do you have those plans?
Do you have one or two?
Yeah. Looking for a site plan?
Yeah, the set.
It would show the striping so they can see. Right now you're just seeing the hatch for the pavement.
Yeah, I don't have that one. There's that.
You have today.
Do you have the Dropbox that you sent us?
Yeah, the today's email on C-102 will show.
Where were the parents? They'd be between the building and the.
This was an earlier version, but it does, we'll show a drop off here, a curb cut here, and this would be where there's a lot of.
There's a separate travel lane, that lighter gray.
Sure. And I mean, there's real estate there to, I would think, to put a drop off and a curb and a fence.
That what was in one of the drawings.
Yeah, how would that affect your fire lane? Well, see, that's the, when we're talking about islands, that's where it gets a little tricky, because the fire department requirements, especially when you're looking at a two-story and a three-story building on that back side, there's a requirement we have to be within a paved surface. So an island, we would definitely have to look at and see how that would be affected. But, we do have you can definitely see it on this and the construction plans that we've submitted. There is a separate lane that is an addition to what you see here that actually tucks in closer to the building that is totally separate than the 24 feet that's there now. It's an actual a separate lane for folks to come up, drop off, and that way you're not disturbing any of the traffic around that vicinity. And for some reason, if traffic does circulate, these vehicles are totally out of the travel lanes. So it is a separate lane.
And when the buses dump off their students, where do they enter?
Well, yeah. From the top,
to the top. Closer.
They're entering from here, isn't
it? I mean, when the students get off the buses.
Oh, they're going to come around,
right.
Probably loop around this way.
Right, and then where do they go once they get off
the
buses?
He's asking how they get in the building,
yeah.
Where they go in the building.
The students.
Where's the entrance?
It's right here.
So therefore they have to walk across that carriage lane?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there will be a walkway there.
But they've got to cross traffic, the parents' traffic.
No. There'll be no, except for the drop-offs, I guess for the, all the parent drop-off is in front of the building.
High school parent drop-off.
Yes, high school parent drop-off.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing about the parent, the drop-off of daycare.
Okay.
In other words, they'll drop their kid off and then keep coming around, right?
That is correct.
And then you'll have high school students crossing from the buses that same lane, correct?
Yes.
So you just have to walk over there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that time.
That's what I was wondering. They shouldn't be there at the same time unless it's the late arrival and just
it's
brainstorming.
Yeah.
Does late arrivals have a different entrance? You know, if you miss it, entice them to, if you want to walk closest to the child care center, you get there on time. If it's not, maybe it's another entrance. But I like Dean's word, investigate and see what some options are. But at least when the majority of the buses are unloading, that lane for drop-off shouldn't be there for early childhood.
What happens practically when you have a snow delay or a fog delay? We know the school's 2 hours late. Daycare usually late too. How's that work? What do parents do with daycare?
They usually run our schedule.
So therefore,
on a delay.
So they would be there at the same time.
It would match up on a delay.
So therefore, we are going to have them there at the same time. If you have a fog or snow delay, correct?
I'm not 100% sure about the schedule of when kids come in or not.
But I'm saying, when we say they'd be there at different times, if we have a fog delay or a snow delay, they could be there at the same time.
That's correct.
Correct?
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of institutions that are connected to a school decision.
Right.
So if there's a 1 hour delay for then daycare programs and church programs and everything else are attached to it, charter schools are attached to a decision that gets made regarding that. So, yes, it would shift it, Dr. Masson, but you'd still have the question that that's being raised.
One or two.
Yep. C-102.
C-102.
So exactly where is the drop off there for the daycare?
small sidewalk.
It's this lane, just this lane right here.
That, okay, so that's for cars.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
And then...
this is the main entry.
Okay. For the drop off the kids, they got to keep going, right? Straight?
Correct.
So where would you put a fence in there to...
It would be basically along this line.
A fence?
Yeah. I mean, if you'd have to rework it a little bit.
Sure. But I mean, is that where you're talking about? And then the fence would have to turn, correct? And parallel the entrance where the students come in, or not necessarily?
I wouldn't think necessarily. I mean, I think what you're looking for is a barrier.
Let's go back here. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be able to put a fence here. We'd have to investigate it. Just because you got a fire lane here, you cannot have any obstacles between those two. So, I mean, what I was thinking, and there again, this is just an idea, is that you would fence this area and put a gate here so that when kids go out, at least there's something that's secure them so they don't run out here. And hopefully, but I mean, to have some type of barrier here, I mean, this. It would not meet fire department's requirements.
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
So the only thing, unless this entrance moves to one of the entrances that you said, either to the side, I mean, it would have to be something in here that's going to have to be some type of barrier.
And that would only take care of kids leaving, not drop off.
That is, well, yeah. I mean, if, to be honest, somebody pulls up here and drops her kids off,
right,
and it goes back to the scenario you pointed out, as far as you're taking someone out of your back seat and you got a little kid running around. Yeah, I mean, unless it's changed either on the side, I mean, I don't know how you can secure that area. Unless, you know, that's reworked somewhere else, but... There's certain distances. As you can see, we're far enough. We're this far away from the building for our fire lane. And we need over 50% coverage around the perimeter of our building based on fire department requirements. And it actually gets, it's actually more when you get when you're at the three-story portion.
You can't even have a small place for a short distance.
From here?
Yeah.
We'll definitely check, but I'm 99% sure that's not the case. Because then, if you need to, the idea would be the fire department would pull up here if they had to reach this building. Now, if they're pulling out here and they can't get over this fence with hoses,
I mean, could the fire lane be the same as the drop off? Could you make? Make this the same width as the fire lane and have a fence on the other side of that. So that would kind of double.
So you're saying if we make the same fire lane here.
Yeah.
And put a fence in between there? I mean, we could do that. We'd have to investigate.
But
now you're messing with the radius of turning the
buses.
It's going to be. Yeah.
So the challenge is for the design team is preschool children arrival safely.
Even departure too. I mean,
sure.
You got two kids, right? I mean, I just know putting two kids into child seats and stuff. You know, you've got one standing there, hopefully patiently waiting. But why? Address the other one, and it takes a while to get those kids in and out of child care seats.
We'll definitely investigate that.
Thank you.
Tim, can you also on that, I'm sorry if it's still there,
sure.
The same sheet, if I didn't miss you.
Oh, yeah.
The could move that over to the vocational loading lane also. So we have this, again, Zach, we have this fire lane just off of the vocational canopy.
Where's that? Where are you talking about?
That's right here.
Okay, that's a fire lane. Okay.
Yep, yep, yep. And this is the canopy area right here. So the overhead doors to the vocational areas.
And as Tim mentioned, the idea is I think we've got adjustments at both ends. I think we've got an adjustment at this end in order to be able to get a tractor trailer or a short box truck in there to make deliveries of equipment. I think that's one thing. And then to proceed through and to be able to pick up into the lane coming out after the delivery is made would be another adjustment if we're not violating a regulation. But I think what we were trying to do is to avoid 90-degree corners for a tractor trailer.
So if a tractor trailer goes in, could you show where if he's unloading?
So we have there is a gate here that goes along. We've already run turning templates.
Okay.
So that way this can be used for when y'all are working on some type of vehicles or need to have access. But this, I mean, they can go in here. I mean, but it's wide enough for any type of some truck to get out of and keep the circulation, but if we need to add something else, that's fine.
What does the white represent in the middle?
This here?
Yes.
It's concrete.
Okay.
Sidewalk all the way around.
So it's concrete.
So a delivery would be made, and then
yes.
We're going to have like the raised sidewalk going out, or?
Yeah, it'd be tapered down so they can go right over.
And then how do they get out from there? Where do they come out over here where the buses are? Because they drop off a load.
They go through here.
Right, uh-huh.
They come out here and then go around.
Okay. So therefore, they're supposed to use the furthest lane, not the lane next to the daycare.
Correct.
Correct?
That is correct.
And how do you mark that so that they don't go in? How do you mark it so that they don't make a sharp turn there?
Okay, well, signage, but I mean, I can't see someone going.
That's my question.
That's going to be
a
that's
truck.
A pretty tough corner. I mean,
okay.
As the trucks always truck drivers always takes the path of least resistance. I mean, it's going to be obvious going this way.
Yeah. But they could a box truck for that.
If
could I, use that lane.
Most definitely could. But I mean, a small sign here that says no truck access would address that issue.
Could you put a bump in there too?
A bump,
yeah.
Like a speed bump?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We could.
Do you have any drawings or labels on them that show preschool building, preschool entrance, main student entrance, exit? Do you have anything like that?
We don't have that yet. Those usually come later. We're still, you know, that's part of the design process. But we would definitely be preparing those.
I'm just saying we'd like to be able to see that.
Yeah.
This is not bad, but I mean, you can't really tell. You can't look at it and tell where kids exit and enter, unless those gray and white slashes mean that. That's what that means. I don't know.
Yeah, that's will come with the signage package, the wayfinding package, and like I said, it's usually a little bit on the back burner.
Are you talking building labels or the signage? I think that.
Well,
if you just want to see the labels, you can put up a floor plan.
If I were to look at this drawing, how would I know where the preschool entrance is?
Okay. Yeah.
How would I know where that is? How would I know where the kids get off the buses and enter and exit the building in the afternoon? How would I know that?
From the drawing standpoint.
From that drawing.
Oh, okay. I mean, this drawing's for a different purpose, but we can create a drawing that will show that.
I think that would be helpful to everybody. If we're here to approve this, I mean, that would be helpful to see that.
I can open up a plan, show you that. I can show you the floor plan. We can talk about some of the.
Hey, babe, what I mean, I just.
I think
floor plan overlay on this plan in a lighter layout would probably suffice.
Yeah, well, for now we have a floor plan, actually. Please disregard, this is the plan I have on my computer, I'm sorry. These are some of the videos that we've got mapped out that we're working on now. But they are.
Yeah, that's helpful. That's helpful.
Yeah, so this is when we were looking at that, the site plan, this is where that sidewalk is.
Uh-huh.
And then this stair here is where the students would enter in through this entrance from the bus. And we're calling this, you know, this is the just a reminder of the overall sort of organization of this plan. This is the main entrance. We call this Main Street, and this is Second Street here. This is all the vocational technical area here. And then a lot of the public spaces, the gym, the dining commons, theater are all sort of organized off of that, the administration wing. And then there's these connectors that come over to the vocational wing, and then some of them have like physical therapy, will have access to the courtyard. There's the communications room here, digital publishing, health professionals. And we've tried, and we're pretty successful in getting most of the vocational technical spaces on the first floor. So here's the early childhood area, and this is the courtyard for it, which is very nice that it has that secure courtyard.
So if everything works according to schedule, which, you know, most of the time it will, what time will the buses be in and gone? And then what time will the parent for the early childhood drop off?
We had a discussion with the early childhood folks and who've been part of this thought process and going forward, and there's validity to Adele's concerns and that safety aspect that's on there. Our buses, students get off the buses at 8:20 and come into the building at that point, correct, Ms. Clark?
That is correct.
And then what the child care center folks have told us that the overwhelming majority of their drop-offs are by 8 o'clock or before, because there's people going to work.
Right.
And so there it's, but we need to be better than timing. Timing's going to help us in terms of when do people drop off early childhood and when do the buses come, but I think there's a physical design component here that we can, at the end of the building, or some type of a system that improves the importance of safety for students loading and unloading. Preschool, we've also got we've got kids coming off the bus at 8:20 and then loading back, the three, you've been here at 3:16, 17, 18, our kids are still in the early childhood center at that point, and when they proceed, the issue is the morning. In terms of that drop off, so that's the challenge that comes with it.
Yeah. What are the? If you go back to that diagram you just had, where they drop off the children from there to the corner. What are those rooms?
Which children, Dr. Master?
Yeah, in other words, if you drop children off there.
Yep.
Okay, see where you say drop off children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
From there to the corner of the building.
Oh, over
what's
here.
What's in there? Yeah, what's in there?
Landscape, environmental lab, and classroom.
Okay. So it's actually space we're using.
Then farther to the right, you get into vocational space, which would be welding and auto body.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the culinary arts. This is the serving line here with the kitchen and the band and Carl. There's a theatrical learning space there. This is more of the mechanical area. And it's a lot of the athletics here, cosmetology on the corner, driver's ed, strength and conditioning here.
Well, what I was thinking about, is how Bill Riddell, what you'd like to see, but I think we've talked about all we can talk about. It's up to you guys to go back and look at it. Mm-hmm. But Dell, what you're saying is if we could drop some of the kids off, which I don't see how we can do it, on that side of the building up there, where your mechanical, so we have a circle?
Mm-hmm. Over here.
No. Is it there or the other side?
Oh, this is the vocational wing.
Yeah. In other words, if you could drop kids off on the vocational corner there and then get through, but you've got all these other classrooms in there to where you're not going to have a walkway.
Right. Yeah. It's a balance of having access to an exterior spot with a secure playground and minimizing the traffic that's around on the outside.
Yes. Well, you guys got your work cut out.
Our challenge is outside the building.
Yeah.
Yes.
Understood.
Can I throw a suggestion out there?
Yeah.
Can you go back to the site plan? Can you blow this area right here? This lane comes in. Can we bring it kind of through the middle easement? Bring it in, bring it back out so that the unloading and moving happens back here away from the fire lane.
Would that be a fire?
I don't know if there's enough room here. You have to talk about that.
Okay. And
then
we
can
look at
bring that lane. Suggestion to get that lane closer to the building away from the buses. Now you have the lane. An area of grass that separates before you ever get to the fire lane, which is the main travel lane of the buses. It's just a suggestion that, because one of the challenges here is, and you're not seeing it on this plan, but if you go back to the floor plan, we're entering the building in a secure area for the kids. They're in a lockdown. When they go through that door, they're in a lockdown area once they come in the building. So once a parent with their child enters that building, they're in a lockdown area. They can't go no further than that square. So the closer we get to them,
that's a good point.
We don't want to move that main entrance for the daycare because then you take away the security factor of signing in the kid into that lockdown area.
Yep.
That's something that these guys haven't been privy to, but that's a big part of that whole area. So if that pull off, so to speak, would fit closer to the building. It doesn't change your fire lane. It doesn't change your impervious area on your stormwater calculations, but it allows a safety factor of a grass space between the drop-off lane and the fire main travel fire lane. I don't know that it'll fit there. It's a suggestion that I'm just looking at real quick.
Yeah, we can look at it.
It makes the main entrance with the sidewalk a little smaller to fit it in there, it may address the concern without having to have a fence there, so to speak.
To stay within fire range.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Of course, the buses is an issue, but the other parents dropping off their kids is an issue too, Dell, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I just...
High school kids?
No.
Okay.
The daycare
kids,
Understood.
Yeah. In other words, we've got two traffic patterns that we would be concerned with.
I think we've got three.
Yeah, okay.
You've got the preschool, the bus issue, and then on the front side of the building...
The high school drop-off.
We have the parent drop-off on the loop for students that are being... high school students who are being dropped off. at the same time. That's been the challenge, is traffic management in about a 20-minute period of time, and then it disperses.
So you got your work cut out for you. I've got one other question. You said that, you know, we're going to move the existing lights from the present stadium to the new stadium.
The poles.
The poles. Not the fixtures. Not, okay.
Right.
Because the question is the cost effectiveness of doing that. And are the poles concrete, metal, or wood?
They're galvanized. They're 90 footers.
Just needs to be rewired.
And the question was, is the there would have to be a structural integrity test on the poles. They've been there a while. In theory, they should be fine, but an engineer is going to say yes they are, no they're not. And then we would put new fixtures, you know, on that again, because we may have this thinking to a fault, but where we can reuse, we'd like to reuse. And
the question is the cost effectiveness of tearing it down. And
they're going to come down anyways.
Oh, right. But I mean, then reassembling. That's expensive.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, you can help. They're basically, I think, taking them down. They're like sleeve poles that slide into each other.
They're typically very expensive. If it's like Musco lighting for like Stadium Leicester, what we'll do is we'll talk to the contractors and get an actual number for you.
Mm-hmm.
If it would be cheaper to reuse the existing ones or buy new ones.
HUD has the information from the original manufacturer, so we should be able to get engineering information about them.
Yeah, building new poles for their structure would be an issue, but we'll make sure we get a hard number for a cost comparison against new against using the old existing.
Of course, part of your cost is getting engineers to evaluate the present poles.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take that money and just put in new poles.
Depends on the difference between the two.
I know, but you've got to get the information.
Absolutely.
And you got to pay for the information.
Yep.
Do what?
That's that money that you would save for that.
That's what I want to know.
We could also bid that as an alternate. And that way you have an actual cost comparison during the bidding process.
Sure.
Cheaper, more economical.
Which is cheaper, Western?
Would RYJ care to comment about schedule or going forward? We have a great bid day on May 22nd and go from there. What happens from there?
I can tell you what happens on the night before bid day. I don't sleep. Usually, very grumpy to my household, because you're just so nervous. You put all this time and effort in, and when you work backwards from the time and effort that you all and Dr. Carson have put into this just to get your certificate of necessity and get folks hired, and you know, we're pushing 20 months of design coming up. It's a lot of work, and it all leads just to bid day, because if you have a bad bid day, you don't start, you go back to the drawing board, and you know, we're trying to protect all of us as best we can that we don't go back to the drawing board, so we're doing estimates as we're getting the drawings to make sure we're on target. We've just started the estimates for the site package that you have in front of you, and it's looking a little bit higher than our initial estimate, but not high enough that we would change anything at this point in time. There's not a lot you can change with site anyway. As Dean was telling me, when we get to the main building bid package, if there's parts there high, you can start value engineering, or maybe let's change this on the building. But with your site, I mean, yours is expensive because it's a ton of dirt that's got to be moved. Someone told us the catch basins are up to like 160 or something like that. It's just a huge site, and to rework it and get stormwater management and everything in place, it's going to be an expensive site package. But we think we're still close enough that we're on track for bid day. And just a couple things. Get that other site plan up, just overall full site. We are bidding this package, both phases at once. From our early discussion, remember with the committee, we had talked about maybe bidding just this half of the project and then this half, and then you know, Dean wisely pointed out to us, we don't want two contractors pointing at each other on who did what and tying it in. So
right now this is to award the, or to go to bid for the entire site, the entire thing. And when we say phase one and two, phase one is basically when we put our fence line here and we start building over on this side of the property, and the school was going on every day on this half of the property. We move in and then we go to work tearing this down and getting the stadium and all that done. So that's phase two, but we're actually bidding now for all of that, and there, you know, it could be a 30-month gap or more between those two phases. So, you know, part of the estimate that's a little bit high on the site package is they're putting in allowances to protect themselves, because we don't know what asphalt's going to cost 30 months from now, but we still think it's better for us to have those allowances to have just one contractor on the full site. So the bid package is for all these things, and we work backwards. That bid day is May 22nd for the site, and for that to happen, you know, there's deadlines for Zach to hit, for the architect team to hit, and then deadlines for board approval. Without board approval, you can't go to Division of Facilities Management or DOE or any of those next steps. So right now, you know, we're not the design team. We're just the mean people pushing the design team to keep hitting those target dates, because we need to get moving this summer. And in order to do that, we have to have the bid day on May 22nd. Once bid day happens, you know, it's going to take us a week or two to do scope reviews and sit down with the low bidders and go over the package. It's going to take a while to bring the contracts back to you for award, and then we'll start moving dirt. And when we get to the dirt moving, Dean doesn't usually let me drive the equipment, but I'm hoping if Dr. Carson asks him, he'll do it, because for this one, I'm as excited as all of you of, let's just see some dirt moving. And it's an exciting project, but you're in design just so long for something of this magnitude that it feels like you're never going to see that first little bit of dirt move. So when it happens, I'm hoping that I'm on the equipment. We're going to try to start building some excitement before that dirt moves. We're going to get our site fencing up. We're going to become real good friends with the fence company, because we're going to be putting fence in. And then as we finish one little area, the fence is going to have to move over to capture this, and then it's going to move again. We're going to use a lot of existing fencing if we can. Get some big banners up with your logo and our logo on it. And when people see that, you'll all start getting questions of, you know, when's it opening, as soon as the first banner goes up. But we'll get that going. We're hoping in May to get a lot of the construction fencing up. We're going to work around the playoffs, because we know your teams are going to make the playoffs. We factor that into the schedule. But we'll get that fenced up and ready to go, so that we're not losing any time. As soon as, you know, Dean has the scope reviews and the contractors are ready, we want to start moving. And if we do that, we won't lose construction time for the whole project. Because in a perfect world, we would bid everything today. It's just this project is so big that we're splitting main building away from the site package. But it's not really costing us any too much overall time, because we're going to have all this in place, dirt moving, and then the main bid package June 27th. So if we hit that target date, we'll be able to have the site ready when we get those contractors in, start getting underground utilities in, and building pad, and all the fun stuff. And then when we see steel going up, it's going to be a good day. A really good day. So we're just excited to get going. Hopefully you'll see us out there this summer.
There's 30 months difference between phase one and phase two. How do you protect the price for us as well as for the contractors?
Yeah, the allowances.
We're gonna try to do like unit prices, first off, that could escalate. And then, you know, if they do go up from the time that it's bid, as long as they can justify that, we would try to be entitled to give them a change order for particular price increases.
Up or down?
Yeah, up or down, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Our thought process with that too is, like, if you bid it all now, you currently get it under the current wage rate. If you bid it 3 years down the road and your wage rates go up 3% a year, you'd be looking at a 9% increase just in wage. So it kind of locks in one. It kind of locks in one of your two major factors in any project.
So the ones that doesn't lock in materials. Is that what you're saying?
I would think that they would be looking for a cost increase for if materials to go up or down.
We'll put the worst case scenario in the budget. We'll hope that it goes down. That would be nice to get some of that back, but we'll put in the highest amount.
We're waiting for the analysis on the Hudson bid opening also, because most recent information is the most valuable. And there's averaging involved and a lot of, you know, factors along the way, but the Hudson numbers, I think, will be helpful to us as we look at scope and budget moving
forward also.
And we spoke last night with the staff meeting and said, you know, when we start this summer, it's not like it's 30 months until everyone sees that building or moves in, you know, between some student involvement and getting them out there to, I mean, this is a great learning opportunity, but also the dean gives board tours all the time with all the districts he's working with at different phases. So it helps. It's not 30 months where it's locked up and you can't see it. We're going to get to walk through and feel that space, go into that early childhood area and feel it out when the steel's going up. And then there'll also be, you know, areas that will have carpeted and finished well before opening day. So, you know, some spaces, you know, I think we had a target of November or December of 26 for the main building, giving us time to test it out and run it before you bring staff over. But there'll be areas ready and hopefully a certificate of occupancy in hand. So if you want to have a board meeting over there in the lecture hall or the library, those things are possible. And being a former owner, it used to depress me how long it was to get to opening day to cut that ribbon. And I like those milestones in between. So we'll get you in a lot, get you to see what's happening. And we'll make sure our fence and banner is only high enough, you know, that you maybe just don't see people walking around, but you'll still see the main building. It's three stories. You'll see it.
Questions from the board for the team? Comments? Thoughts? Answers?
My other concern, and I don't know if this needs to be done now, is the lockers. I know when we met in September, you said there was no lockers. 29 of my 33 years in public education were in a high school. I think we need lockers. Sussex Tech operates on an A-B schedule, and I know a lot of the textbooks now are online, but I was a math teacher. If I have math today and I don't have homework in math, if I don't have a locker now, I have to take my math book home and remember to bring it in 2 days from now, kind of thing. Whereas if I have locker, I can put it in my locker, it's at least in the building, kind of thing. Also, if I have sport, play sports, a lot of the kids have their own sports equipment, you know, where do I put that when I bring it in the morning, kind of thing. During the winter, on a rainy day, I have a coat on. I don't want to carry my rainy coat all day. I don't want to carry my winter coat all day. I know a lot of kids don't use lockers, but some kids do use lockers. I would use a locker. Where do I put my winter coat? Where do I put, you know, my rainy coat, kind of thing? Can we have lockers? You know, we probably don't need one for every kid because, like I said, a lot of kids don't use lockers. You know, one of the things that they've looked into is the weight of the book bags. I know the iPads the kids have are heavy, kind of thing, with the covers and stuff like that. So I would like there to be lockers there for the kids to be able to use if they need it.
Well, has Dr. Carson talked to you about what he's seen up in Dover on this issue?
Oh, he probably did, but I'm not. Well, I may have to be reminded.
We've had these ongoing conversations, yes, about student storage, equipment. The Dover conversation was around the islands that are in the commons area that had storage, locker, and think of it as function as opposed to locker. And we've talked about, again, I think I've said this before, at the risk of making it sound elementary, cubby space within instructional areas, places for folks to be able to put things. We've seen them in other high school settings and environments along the way. The iPad's a lot lighter than a 60-pound book bag in terms of what they're carrying. And we have, I'm going to tell you, we have 1,200 lockers in this building, and I would tell you that 1,000 of them are empty. And so it comes down to the issue of providing the function, but the hallway square footage in terms of the risers that you have to have and the lockers themselves, it's a function question, and your concern is valid. Where do I put these items along the way? And that's been part of our conversations with the team.
What are you seeing in the newest high schools?
We're seeing students who are, and I'm t-
talked to my colleagues who are pretty efficient with what they bring to school, and more so what they don't bring to school. I've seen the field hockey coach, wherever their classroom is, typically has an equipment drop-off place, or the athletic department has a storage place for in-season sports. We have, in our design, we have those locker areas for in-season. We have a lot of lockers in that facility, and our thought process was not being partial to athletics from that standpoint, but if a student needed locker space, we have a significant to the point where we've had some pretty interesting conversations about the number of lockers that we have and will they actually be used. But Adele, I think in those areas now it brings students who are involved with equipment from the question should be, what about the student who's not the athlete, who's carrying the musical instrument? Well, when we go to performing arts, we're going to find storage spaces in performing arts for musical equipment and programs and things like that. Drama, in again, function as opposed to hallway lockers. So we're that creates a challenge for the design team. But there's a win-win there in terms of square footage and circulation within hallways in our own building. We have some, if you get on the construction wing, we've got a, I'm going to call it a 10-foot walkway, because we've got lockers on both sides. If we get down here to the 800 wing, where there aren't any, we've got about a 14-foot hallway. So a building administrator is going to say to you that a wider hallway is a better hallway because you have student exchange, because if the student is carrying the lacrosse stick and somebody gets bumped, right, now we got a skirmish. So we're cognizant of, we have to have a place to put that field hockey stick. It's at someone's head, right?
And have some security issues to go with them too.
And to do those things along the way so that when we have exchange of class, circulation space is important. And so it's all in that mix along the way.
Jason?
Yeah, I've shared your concerns, Ms. Jones.
Jason? Maybe you can comment on Milford. I checked in Milford, and my understanding is the past year or 2 years, they have not had any clean out of lockers in the spring because students don't use them.
Correct. That's my experience. Students are using lockers less and less. Less than
20.
My understanding is Milford had a CN in for the high school, and they want to do away with the lockers. You know, wholesale. You know, probably have some general areas, you know, for the.
And then in the areas, and I'm not sure what we're looking at, pre-engineering and welding, as an example on the board, you see locker space for students who are going to come in and change, get into their gear for, it's really the old vocational model, right? You're coming into a technical space, you're going to change, you're going to men's and women's.
This is more, if you remember, looking at other schools, this was somewhat borrowed from Somerset, and this is actually double the amount that they have. Two shops would share, basically, two shops shared one of these at that school. That's a little bit different program, but we doubled that here.
Mm-hmm. But that's solely the locker space while they're in that area.
Correct.
You know,
understood.
It doesn't.
Yes.
Where do you think the lockers should be?
I don't know. I just know when we did the little looking at it in September, I asked about lockers then, and I kind of tried to get a feel from the staff about lockers, and you know, there are probably over half the staff believe there does need to be lockers available. Like I said, not all kids are going to use them, but.
Did you say that there's only 20 lockers?
Yeah, we're right around 20 or so. That varies from.
Well, and I've talked to the parent of a freshman, and they said that they did not, that their student did not know that the, that was available to them. So.
Adele, there's 1,200 lockers here.
I know. I you know how high school kids are.
From a medical standpoint, my concern, you know, was scoliosis or deformities of the spine. In wearing a backpack weighs 40 pounds. And I talked to people at Milford in their nursing office, and they said that when they do their screening, they do look whether one shoulder tends to be, you know, lower than the other shoulder, and that they remedy that problem, they find it, instruct the students how to use the backpacks. And don't use a backpack on one shoulder, it's meant to be one on both shoulders. So it's just something that we may talk to our nursing staff about to be sure that, you know, we are looking for any sort of problems that could be prevented.
Anything else? Anybody?
Of course, I think you did mention the sports field. Sorry, but we will get your stadium for at least one more year, but we're trying to put that fence around and keep the track and this and the walking path and use as many fields as we can. And as we finish some areas they can move it, we may even get some other fields back. But I know that was a concern brought up at schematics. At least able to keep them for a little bit of usage. And that's the only other thing left out.
So I brought the plan up late through.
We originally thought we needed everything right away. And talking to some site contractors, they're willing to work with us, and they'll be up here for 10 months, but that would give us some usage down here, and it's worth the fence cost to keep kids on site on fields and stadium as long as we can.
Next time I do the pitch about salvaging stuff, I'll talk about how we're keeping the, we're reusing the existing track, and I'll leave the light poles off.
Well, wait till we get into the bleacher concept down by the track. That's another day, right?
You can talk about how we're mining the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, does dirt all have to be hauled in off-site?
Well, we kind of changed our phasing a little bit so we could mine the dirt from this area right here and use it for a building pad to help.
So probably the dirt is good enough?
Yeah, it looks like it's good to about 3.5 to 4 feet down in those areas, which would give us, I think, roughly half the dirt we need for our building pad. Mm-hmm. And then what we can also do is put dirt back there. The site's not totally balanced, but we got it as close as we could.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
That's enough to get. It's not the new light poles in, and so.
It was a substantial amount of savings we came up with.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's expensive.
That's like that country western song, you can buy dirt.
Any other questions? So, Mr. President, so there are a recommendation tonight to approve the construction documents for site work with a couple of caveats, and we'll call those issues yet to be ironed out regarding the Early Childhood Education Center. We'll get better understanding about the vocational space on the side. Signage and painting was a question that was raised, but with those asterisks, we would recommend approval of the construction documents for site work portion of the Sussex Technical High School project. You received documents that are the detail.
We have permission to go to DOE.
Well, my understanding is that when this gets finalized, my understanding is that it will go to DOE eventually, but facilities management is the next step. And any other regulatory?
Usually we would send submit to both DFM and DOE at the same time.
Okay.
So with those caveats, we would make that recommendation.
All right, well, just first, I see public participation's on the agenda. Do we have anybody for public participation? All right, next we'll move to agenda action items. I need a motion for the approval of the site civil plans for the new Sussex Tech High School, with the understanding that we're going to continue to review early childhood entrance and vocational space and signage.
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Manuel. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Is there any unfinished business or new business? Our next board meeting is Wednesday, March 13th, and our special board meeting will be Wednesday, March 27th, 4 o'clock in the library.
Just a comment, the March 27th meeting will be longer than this meeting. The March 27th meeting is the building. Okay? And you'll get your information in advance, but it'll be a longer meeting. Forewarned.
I need a motion.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, March the
8th. Motion made by Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Hayes. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.